Mike Macalupo, your book is kind of an interesting mix of a fictional murder mystery written as a, I guess, a term paper, a real murder, and a lot of poetry. Why the mix?
Well, it follows my first book, Where the Road Begins, where we are introduced to the characters that we'll see in this book, in the second part of this book. Poetry is one of the signature things that I like to put into my books. I actually started off writing poetry before I ever wrote short stories or essays or even got into novels, which has only been recently. So the poetry is an important part of what I am and who I am.
Now, your first book is basically set in South Buffalo about your principal characters growing up and parents at the steel plant and all of this. And now you're in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is probably known basically for being a TV and movie production site.
Yes, it's called Wilmywood.
Why there?
Well, I live in Wilmington. I've lived there for the past 20-some years, but of course, being a South Buffalo boy, I'm always back here. You just really can't take that out of a person who's from Buffalo. It's a great place. And I think that's why I, in the first book, use that as a setting. And in the second book, I use that as the second part of the book. The characters are given clues or discover clues that lead them back to Buffalo to try to discover who the murderer is.
And, of course, the priest from what isn't called Timon but is really Timon High School.
Yes. And, in fact, I'm sure you noticed in the dedication, I dedicated the book to Father Vaynard Carr, who really is the model for Father Christopher in the book. Of course, that is a fictional character, but the personality and the kindness and some of the good qualities are from Father Vaynard. And he'll appear again in the next book, which I've already started.
How autobiographical is all of this?
Well, when we talked about the first one, of course, it in some ways resembled a memoir, although the characters, even the main character, is more of a composite than me or anybody else I really knew, any single person. This book, being more plot-driven than character-driven, as the first one was, is less of a memoir type or less of something that resembles real things that happened and has become more fictional.
The part of the book that involves the fictional mystery novel reminded me of King Lear occasionally, trying to find a successor to himself, this corporate titan who runs a company, hates everybody, but has to find an heir to the throne. Why this topic?
Well, you know, one of the things in really, I guess, would be called popular culture in our contemporary society is people love soap operas, but people love the kinds of soap operas that Shakespeare wrote as well, because that's really what they were. Only they were wealthy, important, powerful people. And we like to see those kinds of things. And I think in some ways for us, and I'm including myself as a working person, blue-collar worker, it kind of makes our lives, brings a little more joy, I guess, into our lives that, you know, even though we're out there working every day, all day long, even the wealthy have their problems. Even the people with the power have their problems.
Daddy, the corporate guy, doesn't strike me as having a lot of problems. I mean, trying to decide who will succeed him doesn't sound like a big problem to most of us. But he's cruel. He's just vicious.
And the character got to where he was able to get to, a self-made man that is in charge of a multi-billion dollar corporation, in some ways has to be vicious to be able to rise to the top.
He just seems to go out of his way, the scheme and the fake murders and so forth, to try to help pick his successor. I mean, it just seems a little over the top.
It may, but don't forget, one of the things that he's trying to do is he's trying to help his wife, Amaya, who is a murder mystery writer. And in fact, the name of her book is Murder at Ravenswood Hall. While she's encountering the problem of writer's block for a period of time, he's trying to get her going with her career so she can be successful. So he's a good husband in that way. And now that he's reached the age of 70, he feels like he wants to spend some more time with her and enjoying their lives together. And so he needs somebody that he can put in charge and knows that he can trust. And so he needs to put them through what he considers the ultimate test of their loyalty.
That's also very Shakespearean, where they kill each other, but they don't quite get, well, almost get to that stage. why this structure? In some ways, in the early parts, it reminded me of Agatha Christie's Ten Little Indians. Was that an influence?
I think one of the things that I really love to read is a good murder mystery. I think probably more of an influence to me would be Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes stories. And I don't know if there's a real strong correlation, but I think of Conan Doyle's stories as comparing black and white movies to today's modern color, Technicolor movies. Even though they're black and white and devoid of that aspect, there's something basic and something really important that is in there that we need to pay attention to. And I think it's the same thing with Sherlock Holmes. While we might say it's outdated, it needs to be brought up to contemporary standards, there is something that he did that makes it timeless. And I think that has had more of an influence on this book than, say, others.
Doyle stories in classic, you know, Basil Rathbone movies are very black, not just black and white on the screen, but they're very black and white. I mean, Moriarty, Holmes is a good guy, Moriarty's a bad guy. The color films of today are almost more shades of gray.
Right. And I try to take what I saw in Conan Doyle's stories and try to add that color to it, those shades of gray to it. And in fact, the next book, there is going to be a nemesis for Hap, and you're going to see him play out. But he's going to be more colorful than Moriarty. He's going to be more developed than that character. And different in a lot of ways, but there's just the spark of influence from that that's going to be brought into it.
Now, one of the rules of thumb of the novel writing business is the second book is always harder than the first. Was that true?
I can't say that it was, because it was very different than the first. The first has a lot of historic elements to it, where the characters, the fictional characters, their lives intertwine with the real characters and real things in history, in 20th century history, which I had to do a lot of research, and it was difficult to put it together and make it all work. This one, because that one was character-driven, was very different than this, which is plot-driven. This one, there are multi-layers of plot involved, and as you know, even though there's the fictional murder in the first part and the real murder in the second part, there's also a more important impending potential murder that runs through the whole story with, of course, involving Joni and Susie.
You keep saying character-driven and plot-driven. That sounds like a college lecture.
I'm sorry.
But that's what you do, right?
Well, that's what I did. By character-driven, what I'm saying is the focus of the first book was the development of the characters, and the movement of the story throughout is the characters and their personalities. And it was a great deal of character development, not only primary characters but the secondary characters. The adults were the secondary characters that were in the story that the kids really didn't know, and we as a reader got to know where they came from and why they were the way they were. This story, while there is character development, we do see the characters grow throughout the story. The story itself, as a reader, we're looking more to what's going to happen next, the plot itself, what's the sequence of events.
How much rewriting and writing did you do on the book?
For both of them, did a lot of writing and rewriting. This one, in that respect, was more difficult, because in the first one, it was almost like vignettes, and I could call upon people to listen to sections of it, and we could deal with that, and they could give me their advice as to what to do. With this one, it was difficult to do that, because it wasn't little vignettes. It was one big plot that had many aspects to it and many layers to it. So if I were to read something to one of the people, they might say, well, but where is it going?
Obviously, to figure out where it's going, you can't finish the book if you don't.
Right. And at times I wasn't sure where it was going. But one of the things that I've heard from people who have read it, that have looked at it critically, they've said that the nice thing about it as a murder mystery is whenever they thought they knew what was going to happen, it didn't. Something else happened, or it happened in a way that they hadn't thought of. And that's what I wanted to capture in this, is so that as you read it, you begin to believe, based on the clues and based on what's going on, that you know the next thing. Like we do when we watch television movies, or, you know, movies at the theater or movies on TV, we can almost predict what's going to happen, even though we're enjoying it, and we know what's going to happen. You really don't know what's going to happen with this. It keeps you guessing.
Have you had any reaction from East Side motorcycle clubs and motorcycle bars?
No, but the funny thing, I think, you know, a lot of ways, and Hemingway was one of my favorite writers too, and he lived his stories. So back in March of this year, I bought a Harley, and I belong to not a club, but a motorcycle association that does charity rides, not a gang. And I've been involved in that as I was writing it, so I was learning more about it. I used to, as a youth, ride motorcycles, but now I'm much more involved in it and enjoying that, and I think that's given me some fodder for little bits and pieces of what I was writing about.
Thank you, Mike Macalupo.
Well, thank you very much. It was good to see you again, Mike.